Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Well, we're going to get right into another video on God's determination. We may have another couple in this series. Hey, let us know what you think about this series of God's determination. Of course, the bedrock of our faith and confidence is how God actually loves us. And his love was demonstrated in how he sent Jesus. And of course, as we've been learning, Jesus and God cut a covenant on the cross on our behalf that every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places would be given to us and everything that pertains to life and godliness would be ours, that we would walk in the fullness, become sons of God. And that covenant isn't about our work, it's about his work. This is a work of God's wonderful grace. So let's just get into this here and jump right into Matthew 11, 27 to 30. And the reason we're jumping into that so quickly is because, again, the invitation of Jesus to the whole world is that we can know the Father and have a relationship with him exactly as Jesus himself does right now at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, verse 27 in the Message says, "Now Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say." This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. "No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen." Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Well, again, everything that we're doing and sharing is for the purpose of God becoming more real in your life. And I know one of the ways that this takes place is when we have great determination to step beyond ourselves. Notice I said step beyond ourselves. You've heard me say that a bunch before. I guess I've never qualified it. But really what that means is there's insecurity in our flesh. Our flesh doesn't want to always do what it should. And sometimes it doesn't. And especially if there's a crisis at hand, when you hear the things that the world says, you read or Google your problem, which I wouldn't recommend doing, and hear all the terrible things that are getting ready to happen, or you can see the writing on the wall, it's very easy to shrink back in your flesh. But we are not of those that shrink back. Why? Because spiritually we are connected to God and he does fight for you. So one of the things I want to read here is we're going to get right back into this about Abraham, of course, and such wonderful things that we're learning is I'm going to go right back to the Message Bible in Hebrews chapter 6, 13 to 20. Now I'm not going to read it all, but I want to read that beginning passage because I love how it's stated. When God made his promise to Abraham, he backed it to the hilt, putting his own reputation on the line. Well, this is exactly what God has done through the death, burial, and resurrection with our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we look at what the Lord has done, he is taking the responsibility all on him. That's why when he could find no one greater, he cut the covenant with himself. Now, remember, in that covenant, it is a covenant unto death. Remember in Genesis 15, we were just there recently, where God and Abraham were in conversation, and Abraham was just open and honest and said, "I'm really struggling to believe that I'm ever going to have an heir." And God said, "Go out and look at the stars, look up into the sky, see if you can number them, so shall your descendants be." And Abraham believed, and God put it on his credit for righteousness. Well, what do we mean by that? Well, don't you love the way, and we just want to reiterate a couple of thoughts, bringing you back into this. Don't you love how God used something Abraham already was connected to, and that is the stars. He used to worship the moon, and of course, the stars are out when you worship the moon. So Abraham was well acquainted with how many stars were up there, so it wasn't difficult for him to make the connection and immediately say, "All right, I got you. I got you on that. I believe you on that. It's going to happen. It's going to come to pass. I will not fret. I'll not worry. I'll not back up." And then just another breath away, "How do I know that I'm going to inhabit the land?" And of course, what did God say? He said, well, no. He said, go get me all these different animals, you know, a ram and a goat and a cow, oxen, and a turtle dove and a pigeon. Why did he ask for these? Because he wanted to make a covenant, a blood covenant with Abram. Abram knew exactly what God was going to do. That's why he went ahead and prepared the ceremony without God even telling him to prepare the ceremony. But you know, with all our effort that we give, we're going to do nothing but mess it up. Aren't you thankful that we don't have to give effort into this wonderful covenant, into God's blessing that's already on our behalf and for us? You don't have to give your effort. Effort actually nullifies the grace of God. In other words, if God needs your effort, then he didn't need Jesus on the cross. Because we know that we needed Jesus on the cross, what does it say? But let go. We've said this many times before, but it bears repetition. One of the greatest secrets to life is, can you get yourself out of your own way? In other words, can you let go of everything and let God have it? Well, we're over here in Romans, if you'll go there with me, in the Message Bible, Romans chapter 4, 1 through 5, 13 to 15. I know that sounds like a lot, but you know, everything we've been talking about is right in this story right here. And I love the Message Bible, how it puts it. See if you don't take something from this and really get encouraged. It says, so how do we fit what we know of Abraham, our first father in the faith, into this new way of looking at things? If Abraham, by what he did for God, well, stop right there for a second. What new way of looking at things? Well, the difference between the law, your performance, your effort that's necessary in order to qualify. And the difference is Jesus qualified us to be a partaker of his inheritance, which a moment that we're qualified because of the work of Christ. Now it's more of an acceptance and an embrace and an action to what Jesus has already done than it is any work that you have to do to help God out. Well, that's what he meant. If Abraham, by what he did for God, got God to approve him, he could certainly have taken credit for it. But the story we're given is a God story, not an Abraham story. What we read in Scripture is Abraham entered into what God was doing for him. And that was the turning point. I love that. He trusted God to set him right instead of trying to be right on his own. But we know all too well what took place in the middle of him trusting God in that measure. It was God silencing the questions that he had by proving himself to Abraham with a blood covenant. When you think of Jesus on the cross, in the grave, resurrected from hell and ascended up to heaven, you've got to understand that that picture right there, right then, is your safety and it is your free pass right on through to eternity. It is not about your effort and your work. Now, our response to God is everything. But remember, it's a response to a person we get to hang out with versus in the old covenant, you know, you had to stay your distance because you weren't born again. You weren't created new. You weren't perfect on the inside. But now through Jesus Christ, everything that was necessary to make us just like Jesus, God put into Jesus in the death, burial, and resurrection. And when he came out of the grave, glory to God, as the resurrected and glorified Christ. You know this over in John chapter 1, 12 and 13. To them that receive him, to them he gives power to become sons of God. We don't become new Adams. In the Adams family, God did away with that family. We become sons of God, just like Jesus. This is a new day, folks. And it's time to walk in the blessing of your inheritance, to not only experience the good things that God does for you, but it's time to enjoy him as your first and most important priority. Again, we're not going into the candy store just to get some candy and wave to the guy that owns it. No, we're actually hanging out with the guy that owns it, and he just seems to bring candy every single day, you know, when we go on to go on our time or our little excursions with him. So it is with God. The more real God becomes, everything that God has done for you just comes with the package. Hang out with him. And this is the right to be able to do that. If you're a hard worker and do a good job, you deserve your pay. We don't call your wages a gift. But if you see that the job is too big for you, that it's something only God can do, and you trust him to do it, you could never do it for yourself, no matter how hard and long you worked. Well, that trusting him to do it is what gets you set right with God by God. Sheer gift. That famous promise God gave Abraham and that he and his children would possess the earth was not given because of something Abraham did or would do. It was based on God's decision to put everything together for him, which Abraham then entered into when he believed. That's so important. If those who get what God gives them only get it by doing everything they are told to do and filling out all the right forms properly signed, that eliminates personal trust completely and turns the promise into an ironclad contract. That's not a holy promise. That's a business deal. A contract drawn up by a hard-nosed lawyer with plenty of fine print only makes sure that you will never be able to collect. But if there's no contract in the first place, simply a promise, and God's promise at that, you can't break it. This is why the fulfillment of God's promise depends entirely on trusting God and his way, and then simply embracing him and what he does. Did you hear that? Trusting God and his way and simply embracing him. Again, I'm going to say what this dear lady, you know, got healed in her body, and the first thing she looked at me, she said, well, it's time for me to go back to work. And I so love that because she moved on. In other words, she received from the Lord. Now it's time to go enjoy it. So many I see, and it's easy to fall into this pit, if you will, a pitfall. They're so afraid to trust God. You know, the power of God comes on them, and they're tentative to step out and walk on that new foot, to move that new arm, to go get their test to prove that the cancer disappeared. If you remember our testimony a couple of weeks ago with our dear lady that had all that cancer in her body and was horrible, the things that she was dealing with, and she said she lost everything, lost her hair, lost her strength, lost her weight, lost her dignity. And she said, and then I lost my hope. And here she had a six-year-old boy. She was about 38 years of age that she wasn't going to be able to raise. But right in the middle of a sentence, I just knew God touched her. I said, right there, did you feel that? God just healed you. Sure enough, she said, I did feel that. It dropped me to my knees. I lifted my hands toward God and I began to praise him because I could feel the power or the heat going down into my arms where those newly found lymphatic cancer cells were. She said, immediately, I knew something happened. In my heart, I stayed there worshiping God for the first time in a real time of worship that came from my heart. She said, I just wanted to go out and tell everybody, but she said, I wanted to get the proof. And then over a week later, she got the proof that every single cancer cell had disappeared in her body. Yes, indeed, she was healed by the wonderful power of God. And she said, and I knew it. Folks, when we embrace him and what he does, this isn't just, you know, playing hopscotch, folks. I don't even know where I got that thought. But the point is, it's not some little thing. We embrace what he does, and immediately the wonderful grace and ability of God goes to work in our lives, in our bodies, at work, in our home. Oh, God's desire and determination is to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise. Think about that. What does he want to do? He's determined to show you something. He's not keeping anything from you. He desires greatly to show you everything that he does. It goes on to say that's the only way everyone can be sure to get in on it. Those who keep the religious traditions and those who have never heard of them. For Abraham is father of us all. He's not our racial father. That's reading the story backwards. He's our faith father. We call Abraham father, not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Isn't that what we've all read in scripture? God saying to Abraham, I set you up as father of many peoples. Abraham was first named father and then became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do. Raise the dead to life with a word, make something out of nothing. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding to not live based on what he saw he couldn't do, but based on what God said he would do. Notice that, based not on what he couldn't do, but based on what God said he would do. Well, people say they do things all the time. You know, you don't like step out on your life's journey where you could live or die based on what someone says. Do you? What made this so different? That based on what he knew he couldn't do, He gave that up, let it go, got out of the way, and just simply believed what God said he would do. Because what God said he would do was intertwined inside of the covenant. And we're going to see something pretty amazing and pretty awesome in our next session. It may be our last session on God's determination. But I'm telling you what, things are actually starting to really work here with the YouTube videos, Adventures in Grace. Tell people about them because people are starting to listen more and more all the time. I'm telling you, it's turning people's lives around. It's giving them hope for their future. Lord God, even today, just something so simple, as talking to one of the airline operators, because they changed our flights and we had a really bad flight schedule. There was so much of a better one. And so I just called and I said, now, can you find on this next flight, you know, a couple of seats together, because it goes 2, 3, and then 2, the pattern of the seating. And I wanted Aaron and I to just be over on the side, the two. I like the window, she likes the aisle. And when there's only two, it's window and aisle. And she said, well, I don't know. I'll just have to look at that, she said. There it is. And she bumped us up into the Comfort Plus seats that have more legroom. She said, it's your lucky day. And I thought, isn't that something? It's my lucky day. And then we went on to talk a little bit more. And I said, hey, while I'm having a lucky day, we might as well have a little bit more of it, right? She said, well, you know, we are having a little bit more of it. And then she was able to make the other changes that were just perfect. And I just had to chuckle to myself because you and I both know exactly what we're talking about. It's not luck. It's just hanging out with Jesus. And he just makes sure things go right. And even when they seem momentarily to go wrong, you're not betting on your ability. You're just embracing what he has done for you, just like Abraham. Boy, oh boy, tell people about Adventures in Grace. Get them over there for sure if they're new to it, to the first 20 videos where they'll really learn all about finding God and finding grace. By all means, go to jhmi@jimhockaday.com and send us your grace stories of what God's doing for you in your life. It'll encourage not only me, but everyone else. God bless you guys. We'll see you real soon. Bye.